Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, as we meditate on your word and hear your word proclaimed, open up our hearts, open up our minds, and let us hear what the Spirit is saying to us today. Amen. We are in a time of year when people pack. In May, many college students packed up their belongings to return home and away from their dorms. This June, many United Methodist pastors and their families packed up all their possessions to move from one charge to a new charge. Come August, students will be packing up their belongings to go back to school. And while not everyone is packing up all their belongings to move from one location to another, many of you are packing, whether it's for vacations, camps, weddings, other summertime excursions. Many of us have packed or will be packing in the near future. I am personally not a good packer. Part of the problem is that I wait till the last minute. When I was little and I'd go off to Boy Scout camp or church camp, I'd wait the night before to pack. Inevitably, I'd be searching for some item, say around 12 o'clock, and I'd run into my parents' bedroom, barge open, and say, "Where's the bug spray?" and wake them up, much to their annoyance. It's not even my procrastination that's the only problem, though, and why I'm a bad packer. In last week's sermon, Dennis Sittler talked about worrying, and he mentioned the phenomena of paralysis by analysis. And I often have experienced this when I pack. When I would prepare for a backpacking trip, I'd sit at the end of my bed and I'd think, what do I need to bring? And I'd start running through all these different scenarios of what might happen. What if it rains 2 or 3 days in a row? How many socks will I need? How many clean clothes will I need? And when you're backpacking, you want to bring what you need, but you don't want to bring anything else because it's a lot of weight and every pound counts as you're going up and down mountains and going long distances. I would often overthink, what do I need to bring? And then I'd get desperate at some point and just start throwing things in a bag and hope for the best. Our scout troop made a big deal about bringing the right things. You were supposed to be self-reliant. The leaders would not appreciate you asking for toilet paper or a trowel or some other basic item that they considered basic. Time and time again, we were told, do not forget the basics. At the same time, though, we are told, do not forget what you need. And we often had scouts that were two different ends of these extremes, scouts who brought way too much and scouts who brought way too little. One example of a scout is a scout who overpacked. On his first backpacking trip, he brought at least 3 suitcases. Now, it's generally recommended that if you're going to go backpacking, you bring a backpack, hence why they call it backpacking. But if you don't bring a backpack, you might be able to get by with a small suitcase if you have one small suitcase and the appropriate strap, and if you can get past all your fellow scouts snickering and joking at you. 3 is just too many, and he not only brought 3 suitcases, but he packed them to the gills and then needed everyone else to carry them for him on the trip. A second scout, though, that I want to talk about was notoriously at the other end of the extreme. He would bring a backpack, but not much else. He needed to ask the leaders and his fellow scouts for very basic items. He might bring a can of food to eat, but no can opener to open the can. I remember quite vividly the scout leaders getting upset at him for asking for all these different things. And that was before he threw his inhaler on the fire and burned a scoutmaster's jacket, which is a whole nother story. When we pack, we want to be self-reliant. We want to bring what we'll need for our trip or bring the means to procure what we'll need for our trip, like money. We do not want to be like the first scout who packed too much, but we don't want to be like the second scout who had to beg for everything either. And if we had to pick between the first scout and the second scout, we most often would rather be the first scout and pack too much than be like the second scout and have to beg. Packing, obviously, has been on my mind as we've moved to Mifflinville, but it's also been on my mind because of today's gospel lesson. Our lesson comes from the Gospel of Luke chapter 10, where Jesus commissions 70 or 72, depending on your translation. And the second gospel, this is the second time in the Gospel of Luke where Jesus commissions people to go out into the mission field. The first time is in chapter 9, where Jesus commissions the 12 disciples to go out into the mission field. This time, it seems like 70 other people, other than the 12 disciples, are being commissioned to go out in pairs to receive hospitality from the people around them, to heal the sick, and to proclaim the good news that the kingdom of God is near. One interesting aspect to both of these commissioning stories is what Jesus tells them to pack. When he commissions the 12 disciples to go out in Luke chapter 9, verse 3, he tells them, take nothing for the journey. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. In today's lesson, when Jesus commissions the 70, he tells them, do not take a purse or a bag or sandals. What we see in Jesus' instructions to pack is basically not to pack, not to carry a bag, not even to carry money. As the message puts today's lesson in Jesus' instructions, it says, travel light, comb and toothbrush, no extra luggage. Well, all of us have probably found occasions where we might want to travel light. Very few of us would go home to a very distant place without a day bag or a purse or a wallet or at least something on our feet. When we see Jesus' instructions for his followers, they seem to be strange and counterintuitive. Wouldn't you want to bring some sort of luggage? Shouldn't we have money just in case? And this reminds me of my scouting experience. We were taught to be self-reliant. We come from a culture where self-reliance is valued. We are told to take care of ourselves, and when we travel, we do not want to rely on others. We want to pay our way and be self-sufficient. For Jesus' followers to carry out this commissioning, for them to go out and share the good news that the kingdom of God is near, for them to heal the sick, and for them to share in hospitality, they would need to be reliant on others and ultimately on God. Instead of trusting in themselves, they would need to trust in God's grace through the generosity of others. When we pack, we usually pack so that we can be self-reliant. Jesus gave his followers instructions that would make self-reliance impossible. Jesus' instructions on how to pack are a lesson for us today. While we are not being commissioned by a physically present Jesus to go to a distant town to proclaim the good news, we share in the great commission Jesus gave to his followers to go out and make disciples of all nations and to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. As we go forth to live out this great commission, which is the United Methodist Church's mission, it is easy to want to bring baggage. We might want to bring our past with us. As we wrestle with an ever-changing world, we might want to rely on our past. We might be tempted to bring the baggage of pride and ego as we go forth to share the good news of the kingdom of God and of Jesus. The temptation to think that it is our church and that it will be our skills and our gifts that are needed to save it, it's a seductive way of thinking about the church. If we just do our best, work our hardest, we will save the church. As we go forth to share the good news, we might be tempted to bring the baggage of accomplishment, to see our purpose in terms of numerical success. We might want to have success that is easily measurable in terms of attendance, money, or membership. With this baggage, we might think that we should do whatever it takes to have numerical success, to be able to boast of our accomplishments, and to ultimately rely on worldly standards as our measure of faithfulness. Jesus encouraged his followers as they were going out into the mission field to bring nothing so that they could be fully reliant on God's grace seen in the generosity of others. The success of their journey would not be in what they brought or how they prepared for the journey. Their success would come from reliance on God. at the end of their journey, when they were bragging about how successful they had been, Jesus warns them not to take satisfaction in what they had done, but to rejoice in being obedient to God, and now their names were written in heaven. Eugene Peterson's message paraphrases it this way: "All the same, the great triumph is not in your authority over evil, but in God's authority with you and presence with you. Not what you do for God, but what God does for you. That's the agenda for rejoicing." Today, we continue a journey as a church, and our mission is to make disciples of all nations. We need to think about, what will we pack? What will be our baggage? What we bring with us speaks volumes to what and whom we will rely on. I invite us to rely on God. We can pack the past with us and celebrate what God has done with us so far, but we must rely on God, not the past. Amen. We should bring our gifts and our talents and the abilities that God has blessed us with, but we must not rely on ourselves as we carry out God's mission. I pray that God showers us with blessings in our time together, that we can marvel at what God has done for and with us. But we should not rely on numbers or accomplishments in determining how faithful we have been to God. We go forth to heal a sin-sick world, to share the good news that the kingdom of God is near and of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We go forth to share and participate in the hospitality of others, to build relationships and ultimately share the love of God. In going forth, we must rely on God. My prayer for us in this time is a covenant prayer in the Wesley tradition found in the United Methodist hymnal. And it's a prayer where we fully offer ourselves to God, where we pray that we may fully rely on God. And I'd like to conclude my sermon with it. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee, or laid aside for thee, exalted for thee, or brought low for thee. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine. So be it. In the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen.